First, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services confirmed two new cases of novel coronavirus in the state in the last 24 hours. The Wisconsin announcement comes as other states and countries work to contain the virus. That includes a major quarantine in Italy and the National Guard mobilizing in New York to help with coronavirus response in one community. Our next guest joins us to talk about why the virus keeps spreading and what people can do to stay safe and healthy. Dr. Patrick Remington is professor emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
You joined us about a month ago to talk about the virus. What have you been following as COVID-19 has spread between then and now?
Well, the first thing is to follow what I call credible sources. The CDC, first and foremost, the guidelines that they issue really being updated minute by minute, but also sources like the UW Chancellor, UW Health, and our own Wisconsin Division of Public Health. Those are places really at the center of this soon-to-be pandemic, and I think it's really important not to listen to what friends and family are saying and they heard, but to really go to the primary source and listen to the people who have credibility and expertise.
Yeah. Before we get into some of the efforts that are out there to help slow down the spread of this virus, let's talk about the panic and morale side of things. You and many others are trying to avoid an overreaction, a negative reaction. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, I think it was FDR who said that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I don't think that's the only thing we have to fear in this outbreak, because there's uncertainty, and with uncertainty comes fear. But I think that people's behavior that is motivated most by fear and should really think about that and not be motivated by the unknown but rather focus on what we know and then acknowledge that there are some things that we don't know, but we know a tremendous amount about viral infections. We know about ways to control it both individually through hand hygiene, and we also know sort of the 1-2-3 step of public health practice about the use of isolation and quarantine when needed.
Let's talk about how some of those efforts are being used. We see Italy, the whole place, basically having limitations on movement. We've seen some more selective efforts here in the U.S., Seattle just trying social distancing, one New York community saying, no big gatherings. When do we use different parts of that toolkit?
Well, that toolkit is being assembled as we speak. If this were an outbreak of measles or another contagious disease that we have decades or even more of knowledge and understanding about the organism and modes of transmission, then we would have a pretty standard response. But I think there's a lot of uncertainty about this virus, and so we're using what we call in public health the precautionary principle, that if you don't know, it's better to err on the side of being careful or being conservative and doing more rather than less. But obviously, that can be taken too far. You can, close down a community. You can shut down industries and educational systems. And then maybe looking back, that may have been unnecessary. But again, we don't have the benefit of hindsight in this. So I think it's not unexpected that communities are really wanting to be cautious to make sure that they make the right choice.
We're talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the latest news on the novel coronavirus. Dr. Remington, we've had our third confirmed case in Wisconsin so far. Just three. What are you watching for as you watch for these kind of numbers from the state?
Well, it's important to look at patterns. Obviously, these three cases demonstrate that we do have transmission, not just in this country, but right here in our state. The first thing public health does is very detailed interviews with people who become ill to find out exactly where they visited. And then, as importantly, maybe even more importantly, is to look forward and to say, ask the question, with whom have they been in contact with? And those individuals, people who are sick, need to be put into isolation. And that can happen voluntarily by staying at home or staying away from others. Quarantine is a different concept. People who are quarantined are not sick, but they have been exposed or have a high likelihood of being exposed to someone who is. And the reason for quarantine is that we prevent the potential for further spread. So by quarantining everybody who's in contact with a known case, you can then observe them and to see if they get sick. The hope is that they don't, that it was a precautionary approach. But if they do get sick and they do so in quarantine, then they don't get others sick.
A concept I keep seeing in the last couple days, I feel like, actually, Dr. Remington, is the idea of flattening out the curve, meaning instead of having lots of cases get transmitted super quickly, even if we can't stop the spread, it is valuable to slow it because it isn't putting all the strain on the public health infrastructure at the same time. Is that part of the story of what we're trying to do here?
There's no question that this concept of social distancing, that this virus, if we know one thing, is that it's contagious, is that it spreads from person to person, that an infected person on average can spread it to two or three other individuals. Again, that might vary from no spread, which is what we saw here in Madison, or it might spread to a dozen or more. But on average, that's a fairly high rate of contagion, because imagine then those three people who may not be known, then have the potential to spread each of them to two to three people. And you can see how outbreaks propagate. And so by doing things that isolate people, that bringing people together less often in groups, and most importantly, I think, is the recommendation that if you're not feeling well, if you certainly have a cough and a fever, that you should stay home. And we don't practice that as well as we should. I teach at the university. I often see students who don't look well, and you understand why they come to class, why somebody might not want to miss work, particularly if they don't have paid sick leave. But right now, it's critically important that employers help people stay home if they're sick, and that each of us takes that responsibility. If you're not feeling well, take the precaution of staying home, and then see how your illness develops. If you really do get sick, then you go see a healthcare provider.
We had a caller with a question, Dr. Remington. She says she falls into the 65 years and older age group. She got the vaccine for pneumonia. She's wondering if that vaccine would help prevent her getting pneumonia if she were to get COVID-19. So she's thinking ahead about that risk of secondary infections here.
Well, interestingly, I'm just over 65, and I just had a Pneumovax vaccine. That vaccine helps protect against a bacterial pneumonia, and someone who does get a viral pneumonia from COVID-19 might develop a secondary bacterial infection and a pneumonia, but that's not really the purpose of the Pneumovax. The Pneumovax is a protection against a form of bacterial pneumonia, and it's very effective for that. But it certainly wouldn't have any effect whatsoever in preventing a viral pneumonia from coronavirus. It could theoretically help you if you might be really sick and developing a what we call a secondary pneumonia caused by bacteria, but again, it's important to do all those preventive practices. Get your flu shot and your pneumonia shot if you're over 65, but unlikely to prevent viral pneumonia.
Is it helpful for the public health system to have more people vaccinated against influenza and then people over 65 against bacterial pneumonia? Because that's just going to help keep the heat off of the doctor's offices and other public health facilities while we're worried about coronavirus.
Well, that's a great point that we should realize that there are colds circulating now. The symptoms of a cold are quite different than the symptoms of a pneumonia related to coronavirus. But influenza is still circulating. So there are many people who are getting upper respiratory symptoms, runny nose and scratchy eyes and a fever. And those are the symptoms of seasonal flu. And that's a challenge sometimes for individuals to really realize that, or for providers to have to make that what we call differential diagnosis. So yes, absolutely. While the first thing to do is to go back to the basics and be up to date on your vaccines and really practice good hand hygiene. I can't emphasize that more, that we aren't very good in general in those basic hand washing practices, and those have been absolutely shown to be effective. Stay away from people who are sick and coughing. If you are sick, stay at home. And everyone should practice better hand washing.
And how about protecting people who appear to be most vulnerable here, Dr. Remington, seniors, people with maybe compromised immune systems?
Well, I think that's the reason people stay home if they're not feeling well, is not only to protect your coworkers, but to think about people for whom this virus could be quite serious. And we're still learning the epidemiology of this infection, but it's pretty clear that people who are older and people who have pre-existing conditions like immune, like cancer or being or pulmonary disease, those people are at higher risk. And obviously, it's not good to get any infection, but you really have to worry about the people for whom this infection could be really serious and ultimately fatal.
In our last minute or so, a lot of people are feeling anxiety about this, Dr. Remington, and while we should take it seriously, the anxiety itself probably isn't very good for us. Thoughts on dealing with that?
Well, everybody has their own way of dealing with uncertainty, and I think the best way to channel that uncertainty and that fear is to do the things that have been shown by research to be effective, to stay home if you're sick, to practice hand washing, and I think it's not unreasonable if you have alternative plans to avoid large crowds and to do this what we call social distancing. That seems reasonable, but first and foremost, take that energy and use it to remind yourself about good, sound hygienic practices.
It's a good place to leave it, and we'll keep watching as things develop. Dr. Remington, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us today to talk about the small number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in the state and what people can do to stay safe and healthy in light of the outbreak. By the way, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin will join the show tomorrow to talk about paid sick leave and how it could help deal with the disruptions of a disease outbreak.